I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
It's a quiz show. What's the answer, Betty? Hit that buzzer. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Riverdale After Show. Breaking down every episode of Riverdale, airing Wednesday nights here on the CW. We are finally a full panel strong here. We'll go around the horn real quick. I'm Frank Moran.
I am Katie Kalamoto.
And I'm Dontara Terrell.
Oh, look at that. Thanks for joining us.
Yes.
Yes, so happy to have you here.
I'm so excited.
Oh, all right. Before we get more involved with you, Dontara,
okay.
I want to give a shout out to the person that's going to make us look good and sound even better. That is our beloved producer, Ryan, who's hanging out in the booth.
Thank you so much. Kent, I'm so excited to be here. Look at this. We have three incredible Riverdalians. Riverdalians. In the studio today. And we have an amazing chat. So shout out to Obsessed Fangirl, Jassy Jones, Gracian Ryan, Logan Knight, and Forever Mamba Verse 24. Love that name. Shout out to y'all.
And I applaud you giving yourself the own reggaeton air horns there for you. Well, very nicely done, Ryan. Yeah. Nice. There you go. As Ryan mentioned, the chat is up. And folks, if you want, give us a like on Facebook, subscribe to us on iTunes, give us 5 stars while you're there. While you're on the YouTube channel, subscribe to it, check it out, and hop in the chat. You're already in there burning it up there. But if you're watching after we stream live, you know, feel free to comment down below. We'd love to check it out. Katie likes to get a nice glass of wine at the end of the night, put her feet up in front of a roaring fire, and just sip away as she's perusing all those comments.
True.
Yes.
True story.
So we'll be breaking down this episode. We'll also do our special segment of Class President, Class Clown with some news and gossip to round us out. But before we dive into everything, Dontara,
yes,
as our new person here to the Riverdale panel,
yes,
what do you love? What frustrates you just at Riverdale in general? You know, bring us up to speed so the fans get to know you a little bit.
Okay, so what I love about them is everyone's so different, the individuality, and everyone has different schemes, different plots going on. What I don't like about them, I feel like these are grown people. Like, their lives are like adulthood. They go through more stuff than I go through.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, so just those are my two.
Yeah, I you know, as a, I guess, 17-year-old, I think they're still 17 at this point.
Right.
that you're trying to start your own, one, running a club that was selling alcohol for a while, but then trying to start your own burgeoning rum empire just seems like that can't work.
And that constant battle between the family dynamics, and, like the mother, the daughter, the father, daughter. I'm just like, whoa, you guys have a lot. A lot.
Yeah. Well, before we dive into detail, Katie, overall, what did you think of the episode?
I thought it still seemed like they crammed a lot, too much stuff into one episode. I think we're getting too many characters, and it's like a little bit too many cooks in the kitchens at points, because you're just like, if you blink for a second, you're going to miss something. One thing I did like is there was no singing in this episode. I forgot to mention it last week, but this whole, the singing narrative thing, it works until you overdo it. And then it's just kind of annoying. And so I'm glad that we kind of got a break from that this week. And it was just a song-free episode.
You know, it was kind of nice to be when you had Josie on the show. Because
yes,
it was natural. She was a singer. So if you're doing that, it's all right. That, it makes sense for Josie to come out and do some singing. But then when Veronica gets in and Cheryl gets in, you're like, okay, great. So everybody's just a singer now. Cool.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah.
I would agree. I feel like last episode, they were doing a lot of singing.
Oh, yes.
And I was like, okay, guys, what is this, Glee?
Yeah.
Like, it was too much. Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, exactly. Like, I love when they can successfully do a narrative with a song, and it works in certain circumstances, but don't do too many of them.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's just lackluster.
Yeah.
So,
less is more sometimes.
Yes, yes.
And, Dontara, what did you think of the episode?
Progression of emotions for me. Only because, like, sometimes I'm rooting for someone, then by the end I'm like, ooh, no, I don't like you. Then I'm like, okay, I'm back to rooting for you. I felt like Betty, when she went to the graveyard and, you know, hammered her father's headstone, it's just like his legacy is sort of tarnishing her future endeavors. So I felt that pain. Like, I felt like that was a very dramatic scene. And just even in terms of her mom trying to help, I was like, ooh, mom, why'd you do that? But yay, mom. And then when they got caught, I'm like, oh, no. And then I went back to mom, like, why would you do that?
Well, why don't we jump into this episode talking about Betty? You know, she was obsessed with beating Brett at this quiz bowl. And, of course, I asked Katie last week if she had ever been in a quiz bowl. Dontara, have you ever been in any sort of quiz bowl type situation?
I mean, does the spelling bees of the child count?
Ooh, yeah, how did you do?
Oh, okay. Well, look. Well, then, I was an all-star winner. Please don't ask me any questions now. But at one point in time, I was pretty good. I made my parents proud.
Nice.
All right.
All right. Nice. I like that. I had never have done that, so I'm impressed.
Oh, thank you.
When was the last time somebody challenged you to spell a word? We won't do it now.
Okay, no, look, I'm like,
No, just curious.
Probably last week when I was with my nieces and nephews because I challenged them. I'm like, you don't even know that word. They're like, can you spell this? I'm like, wait.
Ooh, wait a minute.
Right, 12-year-old challenged me. So last week.
All right. So, of course, she's getting ready for the Quiz Bowl. And she's assembled her team. What do you both think of if you were assembling a quiz team? Would you have gotten Betty, Veronica, Cheryl, and Tony as your foursome for a quiz team?
It's like a yes and no type answer for me. She's comfortable with them, and they all know each other well enough that they can read each other's energy and know each other well enough. But at the same time, do I believe that all those girls were the smartest crop that she could have picked? No.
Well, who would you say would be?
Some random people, maybe.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like having the four main girls in it was just kind of weird.
It didn't seem like
something that would naturally occur. If you're putting together a quiz team, you usually would be like, who are the people we have in our school that are the best at what they do? And I do not believe that those four girls were all the best that the school had to offer when it came to a quiz bowl.
I can see that.
I was going to say, if it was other options, then yes. But if those were the only three options, then I guess we'll go for it. Yeah. I feel like they have strengths, individual strengths. But like you said, not necessarily for the quiz bowl.
Yes.
But yeah.
Yes.
So.
Because then it becomes like, oh, well, we've got the best cheerleader who also happens to be one of the smartest people, who also happens to be a great singer,
mm-hmm.
who also happens to have a lot of wealth and can start a rum empire. So yeah, it just makes it seem like there are other people at the school, right?
Yeah.
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 At least when they ring the bell, it's all these people who come out. So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I am. I'm surprised. I thought Kevin would have been one of the people on there.
Exactly. Well,
because he doesn't have
it was
much
all
to do.
All women, which obviously, if women can do it better, then fine. But it just was a little weird that it was all women because I've never seen something like that unless it's like an all-girl school or something like that. So that was also a weird choice to me that there was no male representation in that scene.
Yeah.
And it was male and female. It was men and women at Stonewall.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is kind of weird.
So she's assembling that with the wanting to crush down Brett. But in the meantime, though, she's still struggling with the fact that, oh, man, you know what? I didn't get into Yale. I got to crush Brett. And who does she reach out for some help is her half-brother, mm-hmm. Charles. Mm-hmm. Which I guess, if you have a half-brother who's an FBI agent, why not go to him? For your to dig around and find information for you on people you don't really like too much, and he does. He finds out some skeletons in Brett's closet, but then also finds out the reason she didn't go to Yale was because she is the daughter of the Black Hood.
That father, I'm telling you, he's just ruining it for her and the whole family.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, they kind of frustrated me because, like, how much is this Black Hood stuff just gonna? Are we keep digging into this that it keeps weighing down Betty's character? Kitty, are you feeling frustrated by this? Or are you like, I buy it?
A little bit. I feel like with season four, they're trying to bring back the Black Hood in the sense because I feel like last season, it wasn't quite as good as the first two seasons when you did have that story arc. And I feel like they're trying to bring it back toward what the show started as. So in that sense, I'm okay with it. But I do kind of feel like it's just kind of getting tiring and repetitive and over it. Like, can we find a different thing to be bothering her? Or I mean, obviously that damage is going to be there, but it's like 50-50 on it.
Not true. I mean, I've never been the child of a serial killer as far as I know, unless my parents are doing something I don't know about. They're really good at hiding that out. Now, Tara, I would think that you wouldn't, would you be would that weigh so heavily on you that you would feel like you can't, your life is being ruined constantly by being the daughter of this
of a serial killer?
Yeah.
Like, lingering on? I feel like at this point, Betty needs to change her name, her identity, because the Black Hood just seems to be following her. Look, I'm like, can I honestly and truthfully speak to it? No, because, look, I'm not the daughter of a serial killer. But I think they're giving healthy doses of maybe what life would be like if you were the offspring of a serial killer. So maybe that's why they sort of keep bringing up the Black Hood and that dynamic. But also, like you said, maybe they're trying to finagle the storyline back in with the Black Hood.
Yeah.
I feel like that because they do keep mentioning him often.
True. But also I want to think like Riverdale's like this small town.
Yes.
Not many people know about it. It's all tucked away. And yet they're really playing up that everybody knows about this Black Hood. And I'm trying to think, I mean, certainly people are more interested in serial killers. There's podcasts all over the place. You've got Dateline, a variety of other shows on different networks telling about murder and serial killers. But I have to admit, I don't watch a lot of them. If you were to tell me, like, a couple serial killers within the last 10 years, I would be like, okay, cool. Sure. I don't feel like I have my fingers on the pulse of that. So for Yale to say, like, I don't know, this would be too much of a distraction. I'm thinking, really? Would it be?
Maybe they have a research team that digs deep.
But I was just going to say, it seems like weird that would be a reason for her not to get in. Like,
but also, yeah. Word travels fast. Didn't Jughead talk about the Black Hood?
Yeah.
In his book, like...
Well, that hasn't come out yet. So, I mean, unless some... And that was before. Yeah, before she got rejected, so...
And, like... What was the purpose of him being like, we want to focus on serial killers? I felt like he sort of told him, sort of brought that out of him, like, we already know, and we want you to tell that story.
True, yeah. So we've got DuPont over there at Stonewall. Jughead's turned in his first manuscript for the Baxter Brothers, and it is not received well. Mm-hmm. And the publishers come because they want to hear new pitches. And serial killers are the hot thing right now. Everybody wants to hear about serial killers, so tell us some stories about them. And Jughead reaches out to Charles as well for help. Uses the serial killers that he's given him as a pitch material, and nobody's buying it. So then, in desperation, he goes to the Black Hood. And, all right, if you're doing that, he calls it the Brown Hood. Like,
yeah.
I mean, if you're going to, like, come up with at least a cooler colored name for that, like Red Hood or something, Brown Hood, that's
Or just
the
alleviate
worst.
The word hood in general.
Yeah, I think... That was the thing where he couldn't think fast enough on his feet to disguise it enough. You know, he's already trying to not, like, make it sound exactly like something. And then they're like, oh, what's his name? And Jughead's like, oh, crap, good point. Like, what is the name of this villain that is not this villain? So I think that's a natural response. For someone who's trying to, like, make up their... real story and then change it just certain details.
Okay.
I wouldn't be able to think of a name on the spot if I hadn't thought about what I'm going to call him.
But would you go with Brown? Would no. Brown be your first color choice?
No.
That seems like...
Midnight. Midnight or something.
Midnight Hood? Down with that. Okay. A Red Hood? I would have been cool with that. A Chartreuse? So it's like the Brown Hood. It's like, that's
yeah.
Such a
well, some of those. The problem with that is that they'll be references to DC characters if they do that. So true. I think that's another reason why he didn't say like Red Hood.
So that's true. True.
Yeah,
yeah. Good call.
But see, if that's the case, he thinks fast. Then so he could have probably thought of something else besides Brown Hood.
Yeah.
The pitch is received well, but of course, the one thing he doesn't do though is he doesn't tell Betty. At least as quickly as Betty thinks she should have been told. And when Betty finds out, she doesn't take it well. If you find out that a significant other of yours, either of you, had written a story based on a terrible event in your lives, would you take it well? Would you be as angry as Betty was? Is there a middle ground?
I think it depends on the day that you find out. If you're having a bad day, I feel like I would, in fact, react just like Betty would. Say a lot of stuff had happened. And like she said, she's going through a lot of stuff and trying to deal with the fact that she's not going to her favorite school. So it did add to it. And on my worst day, yes, I could see it. On an average day, I feel like I would be upset and hurt, but I wouldn't go into as many drastic proportions as she did. So,
what about you, Dontero?
I think in Betty's circumstance, I would be very upset. One, I felt like after they had sex, then Jughead, oh, by the way, I went to Yale. Excuse me, sir? That was the worst time to say that. And then she finds out that you wrote about my father. It's just like one thing after another. So, yeah, I'll be livid. I would start to feel like it's intentional. Like, I'm taking this personal now.
Alley Cat Diva thinks Betty might have overreacted a smidge.
Mm.
So there's a lot of overreacting kind of reactions so far.
Listen, Betty has the weight of the world on her shoulders. Yeah. She doesn't know how to handle all these dynamics. Like, she is a full-grown woman. like an adult with all these, like, you know, just struggling, like trauma with her father, and then not getting into your dream school at 17, not getting into your dream school is like the not the end of the world, but that's a big deal. You feel like, oh my gosh, like you're at a crossroads, you're confused.
No, that's true, because then you think, oh, I have to go to this college, it's my fallback school.
Yeah. Right.
Nobody wants to go to your fallback school.
Exactly.
Community college while you sort things out. Oh, no. No, not community college. Anything with that. Real quick, though, we do get to see Betty showing her muscles off when she grabs that sledgehammer and goes to town on Hal's tombstone. Not too bad. She was doing all right.
Yeah.
But conveniently enough, Alice just shows up in the nick of time to really stop all that vandalism from happening. But let's talk a little bit, because you mentioned it, Dontera, about Alice. At the end of the episode, Betty goes for her big quiz bowl against Stonewall Prep.
Mm-hmm.
But before she does, Alice says, hey, you know, I got you a little help. Go check in your dressing room. And she's found the answers to the quiz. Betty doesn't do it because she wants to beat Stonewall Prep fairly. But even after she does, somebody finds the ripped up answers in her garbage, which we'll get to that in a second. So she ends up losing the match. Can you fault Alice for wanting to help, or are you mad that Alice couldn't trust her daughter enough to say, oh, I believe that you could have done this even without me helping you?
Okay, so I'm not a mother, but I get a mother's love. But I also feel like a mother's love extends to challenging your child to do better, to study hard, go after those great opportunities. So in that sense, I do fault her a little bit, because I feel like that's enabling her to maneuver through life, maybe handing out, cheating, or whatever the case may be. I feel like that wasn't Alice's place to give her the answers. She's overcompensating to trying to appease or connect with Betty. And I get it, because they've been through a lot. But no, I don't agree with her at all on that.
Nah, what would you do, kid, if you walked in that room and saw those answers?
Wouldn't have torn them up. I would hope that I would, like, burn them. That's the first thing I would think. I was thinking when she left the dressing room and you didn't know if she cheated or not, was regardless if you cheated or not, what did she do with the answers with someone like her? And I don't think Alice did the right thing. Just have, like, faith in your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm with you on that.
Yeah,
that was a little random too. I think even Betty was surprised that her mom did that.
Yeah, and clearly quiz bowl security not that tight. If Alice is able to easily get these answers, it didn't seem like a big deal to her whatsoever.
But can we also talk about the fact that her mom just left them on the table? Like, so what if in between that 5 minutes somebody would have came and be like, now what is this?
Yeah.
She just, like, left them out in the open on the table.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so smart choices weren't made at all.
That's, I mean, because it does seem like something that Brett would have come in and found them and used them and then beat Betty, because they knew all the answers. That's where I thought maybe the twist would have been, like, oh, no. Brett ended up benefiting from Alice's help.
Yes.
But the other thing, though, is that we do see when Betty goes in and finds them, she looks back, because we see the shot is framed, like, looking into the dressing room.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see there's a window there.
Right.
And so her first instinct is to look back to see, can anybody see me?
Yeah.
And then I agree with you, Katie. It's like, all she does is she rips them up. No. You got to either take them with you so you can dispose of off-site later.
Yeah.
Go to a restroom, flush them down the toilet. The fact that you just leave them in their dressing room ripped up, like, what are you doing there?
And she didn't even do a good job ripping them up. They were so big pieces. Literally, it was like four pieces.
Or find a shredder and shred a bunch of other papers. I mean, there's so many other solutions.
Yeah.
And based off everything they've been through and all the sleuthing she's done, that's the way she decided to get rid of the cheat answers. Like, Gratian Ryan says, I would have burned them.
Yeah, I mean, you worry about maybe setting off a fire alarm. You could have just folded them up, stuck them in your bra, gone and done that, and then taken them out later when you get home. Yeah.
Ball it up, give it back to your mom, have her put it in that big purse, we'll take care of this later.
I
feel like Betty makes smart choices. Like, she's gotten out a lot of stuff throughout, you know, the seasons.
Yeah.
And you mean you can't tell me, like, you weren't smart enough to be like...
That's the hardest pill to swallow in this situation.
This is, like, the most basic decision that you make.
Yep. Oh, Betty, yeah. Betty. Let's talk about somebody else that's not making the best moves, and that's Archie. He's got his Uncle Frank there helping out, and he starts taking the foreman job. And what I didn't like, because I even mentioned this to Katie when we started watching, is that poor Tom Keller, former sheriff of Riverdale, Then helping out there for the Andrews Construction Company when Fred passes away. But all of a sudden, Frank shows up, and he just, without any warning, just shoves Tom out. Katie, I felt that was just poor class on Archie's part.
And not only that, and he says, my dad believed in second chances. But Mr. Keller just told you that he arrested him 8 times, or is that what he says?
Yeah.
He's had second chances, Archie. So, yeah, that's what rubbed me the wrong way, is he's telling you he's had multiple chances. Everybody's telling you he's had multiple chances, and you're still trying to... You want to like it that he's able to have faith in him. Obviously, that's a good quality to have. But at the same time, I was just, Archie, not your best moment. Especially with the history that you have with Mr. Keller and his son. Like, you know, that was kind of a poor taste a little bit.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Dontera, Frank does say that, hey, I was like this before I went into the military. I've gone through the military now. Now I'm out of it. I'm a different person. Do you buy that? Can somebody be like this before, go to the military, and come out a significantly different person?
I would like to think so, but also sometimes I feel like history repeats itself. You know, I don't like to hold people to their past transgressions, because people do grow, they do evolve. But if your mom is telling you, like you said, the shit, like all these people are telling you, and Archie, he wasn't in that time frame, you know, he was a little kid, so he wasn't privy to everything that Uncle Frank was doing. So sometimes I feel like you have to learn on your own, learn for yourself someone's challenges or, you know, someone's character. And I feel like that's where we're getting at with Archie and Uncle Frank now. You know, I feel like it's a hit or miss. It depends on the person if they really want to change. But the way it's looking for me, I don't think Uncle Frank has changed.
I gotta feel bad for Archie, because I know he's desperate for a father figure. And this is as close to his father as he could get at this point. But still, a lot of Frank's actions just seem way too, like, I don't know if I should trust you.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So,
because he ends up using $200 out of petty cash to gamble, to win big, to pay all the crew their Christmas bonuses. I can't believe the ends justify the means for that.
I was going to say, the intention was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, how do you guys feel about that? Like, the way he went about doing it, or should he have maybe asked first? I felt like what he was trying to do was like, oh, but maybe he should have had a different approach.
I feel you gotta ask, right?
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor's going to distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Yeah, it's the way he did it, that and the secrecy, and not, I mean, obviously you can't tell someone, I need $200, I want to go gamble it away so I can try to win people bonuses. No matter how you say that, people are not going to react well. But yeah, it just was a bad way, a bad choice of going about it, especially when you're trying to prove that you aren't going to be this person that you were before, and then you go and steal $200.
Yeah,
he said borrowed.
Okay, borrowed. Yeah. How many people say borrowed? Okay.
I mean, because after we saw last week where he gives Mad Dog the pills,
yes,
and now he's just taking $200 out of petty cash, already not the best sense of judgment that I'm getting from Frank.
Especially like uncle, father figure, I would agree.
Now, real quick though, as Tom was teaching Archie how to box,
yes,
I was expecting when Frank and Tom come to blows, I was waiting to see Tom whip a little ass.
Yeah.
And I felt like he didn't do it. He didn't beat ass enough for me.
That fight seemed a little off to me, too. For one, I get that you don't want to break up a fight. There's some dangers in that. But you have both Archie and Tom, like you say, who know how to fight. And, yeah, it was a little...
A little watered down?
A little watered down, yeah.
Yeah,
I was waiting to see Tom. You know, like, there we go. I'm ready.
He's like, he doesn't know what he's coming at. Like, yeah. So
maybe next week.
Maybe. Oh well, I mean, Tom leaves a little bloody with like, who, if you guys want to make money, you come with me.
Oh, they're all going with him.
I would.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Archie. Uncle's a little too sketchy for me.
And well, who told the workers about the government contract?
One of the other the person who got the job, the okay. person who ended up taking the job, told them about it.
Okay, okay. Yeah. I thought it was Uncle Frank again. I was about to say, wait a minute.
No.
I take back my answer.
So we also have our other storyline before we get to our really crazy storyline. But our last main one is Veronica and Cheryl going into business together, using that sweet maple syrup from the blossoms to change the Veronica's rum enough by 51% that they could sell it on their own. Do you, Dentera, do you love Veronica Cheryl team up?
Okay. I low key really do like it. Like, I low key like it. I low key love it, actually. Veronica's tenacity to just, okay, daddy, this is how you want to play. First off, I would be fearful of my dad, especially as the mayor or just in general at 17. It's like these two have no fear when it comes to changing the game, when it comes to, okay, I'm going after what I want. And they got poor Mrs. Blossom. They got her wearing masks and ankle bracelet and all kinds. It's just so much. But I'm here for it. Especially, I feel like Hiram Lodge is not a good person. So I really, in the end, I want Veronica to win. So by any means necessary, get it done.
What about you, Katie?
I like it and I don't like it. It's just a little bit too ridiculous. This all together, there's just so much about it that you need to reel it in a little bit. You're making it a little bit too unbelievable. We all know a lot of this stuff is unbelievable, but it's so out there that I it's a little like, I don't know how I feel about it. The whole thing with her mom, it's kind of extra, but you'd expect that from Cheryl. I don't know that you expect that type of behavior from Veronica, but yeah, it's a little much.
A little far-fetched.
A little far-fetched, yeah.
Especially if they used Penelope's little leather book to go to all these big-time spenders that went to the Maple Club. Mm-hmm. How are they not going to recognize Penelope just because she's wearing that mask?
But her hair is still the same.
Yeah.
And the red hair. The
yes.
Red hair.
How are they not going to recognize? Oh, wait, is that you, Penelope, in this mask? What's going on?
Does she change her voice up? Like,
no. No, she doesn't have anything like that.
Two people in the chat are basically saying, why is Veronica always shocked when she tells her dad everything?
Absolutely. I'm tired of that pattern of like, hey, dad, this is what we're doing. Cut to Hiram like, ha-ha, now I'm doing this.
Cease and desist. I have the mayor. I have the police with me. So, this is a raid.
Yeah. And but that's a good point.
And it happens again and again and again. It's frustrating with that. I agree.
Yeah.
Folks, we got to do our class president and class town, a class clown, not class town. That town, old town of Riverdale is a bunch of clowns. But feel free to start chiming away in the chat about who you think this episode's class president and class clown were. Dentera, as the newest person,
okay,
we'll kick it off with you. Who is your class president? Who is your class clown?
Drum roll. I would say class president is Jughead. I feel like he's always standing up for Betty, and I'm here for it. Although, like, I feel like when he goes down that road of making her mad or doing stuff, he wills it back in. He shows his love. He's a loyal one, a ride or die. Class clown is going to have to be Kevin. This little ticklish 5K on camera. I'm not sure what's happening, what's going on. Although, 5K? I mean, tickle me up. Let's go.
So, I was saving this for mine so that to lead us into this, but let's just jump into this because this is the most bonkers storyline. We've been talking a long time for like, hey, Kevin deserves a storyline of his own. This is what they've decided to give us, is that Kevin now gets involved to do tickle videos with a guy that he met from Grindr who sets him up into this whole new crazy world. And if you get a great following, you can make a lot of money. And he gets $5,000 to do a tickle video. I will just open it up to two of you. If you were paid $5,000 for just a tickle video, I would say sign me up. Are any of you disagreeing?
Well,
my brain thinks more in, okay, it's $5,000, but how am I going to get looped into having to do a bunch of these and then be stuck in something that I don't want to be stuck in? That's where my brain would go.
Mine is it more like a tickle BuzzFeed video, like tickle, tickle, or is it more like the Grindr video and like, all right, we need to see a little bit more skin. Then in that case, it's going to be a negative. But if it's just like, hey, this is a BuzzFeed 1-minute video, are you ticklish in your ear? what about on your head? Like, then, yes.
Yeah, so you just get that follow. I mean, 5,000. If you were doing just 3 videos a week, it's $50,000 a week.
Yeah. But if it's going to be something that later on comes to bite you, that's what you have to think about, the risk of it. So,
but like, if you found somebody, if you knew somebody and you found out later that they did tickle videos, I mean, it's ridiculous, but would you think they're so terrible?
No.
No. But I also have to think about, like, my father's name is Don, so would Don approve? Yes. Would Daddy approve? If he, like, I have to think in that sense, too.
True. I don't know, but then if they explain to you, like, I know it's weird, but I get paid $5,000 a video. I don't feel like I could hold it against anybody.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Where I'd find out.
No.
I was like, no, I would sign me up, as I said. Yeah. I'm there. But for a character that we've been wanting to get at least a better storyline, or at least any storyline, this is what they've decided to do?
But maybe the tickling is probably going to lead into...
That's what I'm wondering is...
It has to be. Yeah, it can't start the surface level. Like, it has to be something more in depth, because I agree with you. We have been waiting for a storyline, so...
All right, Katie. Who's your class president? Who's your class clown?
Class president. I'm going to go with... This is hard. I'm sorry. I'm trying to think of something this week. We're going to go with... I'm just going to say class clown first, because I know for a fact who I think my class clown is.
Lay it on us.
I'm sorry. It has to be Betty, just for the last moment. I understand people, like, don't always make the best decisions in impulse, but... That just did not seem like her character to me, and I just didn't like that. I was like, you kind of were dumb on that sense. And I don't want to say Jughead for my president, just because everybody already knows that I love Jughead. So I think with that one, I'm honestly going to put it on Dr. Keller, just because he is trying to, like, still keep with Fred's legacy but not destroy it. And he does have the really good intentions for the company and for the workers, and he's trying to defend that despite what's going on between him and the others with Archie and his uncle. So I'm going to go to Mr. Keller.
I can't argue with you there. I mean, because it's easy to come up with a class clown, and I would have to agree with Betty as well. Just because, just that she couldn't dispose of the answers in a satisfactory manner as a burgeoning sleuth herself. That was frustrating. But, I mean, I was going to say Jughead, because he stands up to Brett at the end and it challenges him to a duel. It's like, all right, he's trying to right a wrong that he sees. But Tom Keller, I mean, he stood up for what's right for Fred Andrews. So I'll go with you there. So I'm just copying. I'm riding Katie's coattails. He's class president with class clowns. Anybody in the chat with a class president?
I have to shout out Gracian Ryans. He said class president is Charles for fooling everyone. Mm. Touche. And class clown is whoever thought up Kevin's storyline. So I like both of those, Gracian. That you have a point, though. Charles he has the wool pulled over everybody's eyes. So he's good playing call. A game that none of us know yet.
It's interesting with Charles, because we'll see him still in a shot while Betty leaves, and he does feel like he's like, he wants to help, and he feels bad about what's going on through Betty. But we also know that, he's setting them up for some kind of fall at some point. So, all right, folks, we got some news and gossip. Katie has got it for you.
AfterBuzz TV News. So on Deadline.com today, there was an announcement about the annual musical episode. We know that by now that they do an annual musical episode, usually in the spring semester. And this year it will be centered around Hedwig and the Angry Inch. The showrunner Roberto, I have no idea how to say his name, Aguirre-Sacasa?
Oh, that's great.
He said this year will be different. When we heard that Stephen Trask, who is the author, I believe, of Hedwig, was a fan of Riverdale, we thought, is there a way we can do Hedwig and still have it tie into the stories we're telling? And they said it will use classic songs like Wicked Little Town and Midnight Radio, and Hedwig is apparently Cole's favorite musical. So they're going to find a way to tie it all in, just like they did with Heathers and they did with Carrie. So that was that news. And I believe that's in February, later. I think it's April that episode is airing. And then another one was Sabrina made a brief, tiny spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Sabrina made a brief mention to Riverdale in episode 3 of their season, where she goes to Riverdale to tap a maple tree owned by Cheryl Blossom's family. That is the only thing they really mention. Like, they don't say anything else about Riverdale or anything else of it, but they did mention Riverdale. So now everybody's like, will we get a crossover?
Oh, boy.
Or same showrunner, so.
Did we see the maple tree? So we can at least have that?
I haven't watched it yet, so I don't know.
To watch Cheryl walk by?
Yeah. Tell me more.
So, who tapped this tree while we were gone? So we end this episode again with another flash forward, 4 weeks from now, where we see Betty at Pops talking to Archie, distraught, like, oh, I'm waiting for Chuckie to come back. It doesn't seem like he's going to do it. And we see Archie and Betty hold hands. I personally am not a Archie-Betty shipper, but I know there are people that are. There are those Archie fans out there.
Yes.
Either of you?
I think it depends on when, what time frame we're talking about, what version of Archie, what version of Betty. When it first started, I was definitely hardcore Betty and Archie at the beginning. But then things, some stuff happened, and I don't know that they're a good match now, but maybe different things will happen again, and they will be right for each other. It all depends on the timing. So,
yeah, I would say love-hate relationship with Archie. Betty, yeah.
a lot of our chat are very much pro-Barchie, so lots of them.
Okay.
I just feel like that's too tough. I feel like once you cross that line, then it's just going to be so weird to then. Like, I don't know if you can go back. It Maybe. Seems weird to me. No. Folks, we've done it. Tara, how do you feel about your first episode here on the Riverdale After Show?
I feel amazing.
Yes?
Yes.
All right. That's what we like to hear.
Love the audience engagement. Love you too. This is great.
Oh,
thanks,
my gosh. And what about Ryan? You got to love Ryan.
Oh, of course.
Yes. Yeah. That's going to do it for us. But as always, folks, like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Thank you, everybody, for hopping in the chat. And, of course, if you're watching us at Free Stream Live, feel free to comment down below. Tell us who your class president or class clown is. Do you think that Betty was an idiot? What do you think of Kevin's tickling storyline? Would you get tickled for $5,000 a video? Sure. Yeah, if you have $5,000 and you're willing to pay me to get tickled, let me know. Reach out to me. Folks, but if you want to stay in touch with any of us, even after the show's over, let's kick it off with Ryan, the hardest working producer in town. Where can they find you, sir?
You can find me at Ryan Nilsson, and also every Thursday, 4 p.m., Star Wars News and the Popcorn Talk Network. Where can they find y'all?
Dontera?
Okay, well, you can find me on all social media. My social media handle is at Dontera Terrell.
I'm Katie. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at KT_Christine. Also on the Batwoman After Show at 10:10 on Sunday nights.
Woo! And follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. Folks, that's going to do it for this episode of the Riverdale After Show. We'll be back here next Monday night with an all-new episode right here on AfterBuzz TV.
Tickle!
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.